All right. Magic number 9 hockey broadcast, special playoff edition, game 1 series. Chicago Blackhawks versus Minnesota Wild, playing in Chicago at the United Center. It was a surprising game. My goodness, the Wild appeared determined to, I don't know, show some self-respect, play as though they deserve to be in the playoffs, refuse to be intimidated by the physicality and the just redonkulous depth of the Chicago Blackhawks. Yeah, I'd say so. They started the game, boom, Cal Clutterbuck, a man who once had the greatest mustache in the entire NHL. A handlebar that Schwinn themselves could never have designed. It was a thing of glory. Now it is no more, but that's all right. There were a bunch of missed calls on Chicago. Crap officiating all the way through the game. Setoguchi particularly was tripped viciously on the boards. The surprise, whoa, right out of the gate, injured goalie. This is a series-changing event. When your number one goalie gets, how can I put this delicately, apparently clubbed in the head like a seal. Maybe it looked different from somebody else's angle, but that's what I saw. Anyways, he's out. And so they bring in Josh Harding. And let's just take a moment and show some love and some respect for Mr. Josh Harding. Josh Harding has MS. That's multiple sclerosis. That's a disease of the myelin, the fibers that surround the nerves inside the body. I know just a teeny little bit about it. I'm no expert, but I did work for the National Multiple Sclerosis Society for a time, as did my charming and delightful partner. It's a crazy disease, and it does all sorts of weird things. 25,000 people a year get diagnosed with it, and here is this dude who it just got diagnosed this year, and he stood tall. He was Mount Rushmore. When he got up today, he was not starting in this game. Most of the game, you know, basically he's the starter now. He's not just going in for this game, he's going in for the whole series. And what a goalie. He was windmilling like a Dutchman. He was sprawling like a seal. He was all over the place. And incredible, especially against the great Patrick Kane. Number 88 had jack to say about Josh Harding two times. Not once, but two times did he get a perfect breakaway, one-on-one, mano-a-mano, Mr. Harding, denied, rejected, threw his shit back in his face. Amazing. Amazing. That being said, finally, Chicago gets a power play. And, of course, eventually they tied up, and so we go to overtime. Now, I think that the Minnesota power play is extremely interesting because it appears to me like they put three guys on the blue line and have them all just shoot relentlessly. So, really what they're trying to do is just rebound generate or possibly hurt other players. I'm not sure which, what their theory on that is, but it's almost like a 1-3-1, but done as a power play. It's a very interesting power play. It's hard to defend against because, you know, basically you're going to either take some pain and block the shot, or you got the two forwards down on either side of the net, ideally, when they're doing their job properly. I mean, regrettably, the Wild had inconsistent positional play, and frankly, their passing was kind of crap. Chicago is a flawless machine. They are a thing of beauty to watch. I don't even like the Blackhawks. I'm a Red Wings fan. Everybody knows that. But good hockey is good hockey, and the Hawks are frightening. Their depth is ridiculous. Their fourth line is easily as good as the Wild's first line. In fact, that was the way Joel Quenneville played them. He was throwing his fourth line out against their first line all night long. That being said, apparently the other lines of Minnesota have some depth too, because they held Chicago 2, one goal, all the way through three periods and then deep into overtime. Eventually, Chicago wrestled them to the ground and had their way, and they won. And so the Blackhawks take the first game of the series, 2-1 in overtime, deep into overtime. But what a game. Phenomenal. Probably the best hockey played of all three games tonight. Impressive players, Pierre Spurgeon, Cal Clutterbuck, and Brodziak for the Wild. Ridiculous. All three of them were... I was like, who are these guys? I felt very Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Because, I mean, I've been watching the Wild for 2 years now, waiting for, expecting them to make the playoffs. And then when they finally do, it's like they're some other animal. And I think that's kind of how Chicago felt about it, too. Because they didn't just come right out and just smack them in the face and take what they wanted. They really shut down, especially Taves and Kane, were extremely isolated. And when Kane got through, Harding dealt with him. So, I would say, well, Chicago's been the expected favorite going all season. They've been expected to go all the way to the Stanley Cup. And with good reason. I mean, when their fourth line, you know, Oduya and Hjalmarsson, and it's just, they have really good players at all points. I'm sorry, the fourth line of... I didn't get a note on that. Oh, wait, here it is. Yeah, Frolik, Kruger, and Bolig. That's your fourth line? 3 years ago, most of the, at least Frolik was like first line LA. The first line of Chicago, which is Saad, Hossa, and Taves. Come on, man. Brandon Saad, I mean, by putting a new guy in with two superstars like that, what you're doing is you're guaranteeing a long-lasting status. You're building an organization. You are thinking long-term. Because if you lose Taves or Hossa, they get old, they retire, whatever. Now you've got Saad, who's been playing. It's sort of like what the Red Wings are doing with Abdelkader, putting him on the line with Datsyuk and Zetterberg. They're conditioning a guy to take over that first line. Anyway.